Today, we'd like to study the title of Zophar's answer in Job chapter 11, verses 1 to 20. To online world's members, we'd like to suggest three questions. Question 1, in verse 3, should your empty talk make men hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? What does this verse 3 mean? Question 2. In verse 6, that he would show you the secrets of wisdom, for they would double your prudence. Know, therefore, that God exacted from you less than your iniquity deserves. What does this verse 6 mean? Last question 3, in verse 17, and your life would be brighter than noonday, though you were dark, you would be like the morning. To what complaint of Job was Zophar's answer? First of all, we want to see background. Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned or avoided evil. So in the community reputation, Job was blameless and upright. God also recognized him. Job chapter 1 verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So God allows Satan to refine his children, here Job, because James chapter 1, verse 2 to 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So God allowed Satan to refine his children of faith, lacking nothing of faith. Job chapter 1, verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So Satan struck Job's possessions like camels, sheep, cow, and houses. Also, his 10 children, 7 boys, 3 girls, all children were killed. Then Job said, Job chapter 1, verse 21, 22, and Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. So Job simply confessed by himself, I came here at my birth with empty hand. Also, when I die, I will return empty hand. Then Job never cursed God. Job chapter 2, verse 4 to 8. So Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh. Now Satan asked God, touching Job's health, his bone, and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face. Basically, Satan alleged that Job is blameless, upright man because you gave a lot of blessing, a lot of tangible thing, possessions and children's tangible thing. So that's why God allowed Satan to take a test. Verse 6, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of the ashes. So Job had a painful disease with the whole body from his foot up to the head, like a leprosy. So he scratched it by himself with potsherd. Then Job chapter 2, verse 11 to 13, Job's three friends came to visit on Job in order to comfort. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place. Eliphaz, the Temanite, Bildad, the Shuhite, and Zophar, today covering chapter 11, the Naamathite. For they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him. Why? In order to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar, and they did not recognize Job, Job's face was altered, was changed. They lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe, expressing his sorrow to Job, sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. So they sat down with him on the ground. 7 days, 7 nights, no one spoke a word to him. So friends didn't speak anything, so kept silent to see Job's present health condition. For they saw that his grief was very great. So now Job's complaint come out. Job chapter 3, verse 1 and 11. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. So first time Job cursed his birthday. Verse 11, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? Job's asked, his death is better than his life at the present health condition. Also, Job complained, Job chapter 9, verse 25 to 35, during conversation with his friend, I am afraid of all my sufferings. I know that you, meaning God will not hold me innocent. Verse 33, nor is there any mediator between us who may lay his hand on us both. So Job asked the mediator between God and man. So basically, Job, I don't know the causes of my suffering, why it happened to me. Also, Job chapter 10, verse 14 to 22, if I sin, then you mark me, God mark Job, and will not acquit me of my iniquity, which means I don't know my sin to preserve this suffering. Verse 18, Why then have you, have God, brought to me, brought Job out of the womb, all that I had perished, and no eye had seen me, which means death is better than present life. So in the Bible, we can see sort of five causes for suffering. Number one, illness or sickness. For example, a patient of a flow of blood. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. So the remedy of illness, we need faith and prayer. Luke chapter 8, verse 48, and Jesus said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Also James chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick," or will heal the sick. "And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven." So number two types the suffering caused by deaths. For example, the deaths of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 32 and 33. "Then when Mary, the Lazarus sister, came where Jesus was and saw him," saw Jesus, "she fell down at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died.' Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping," suffering, "and the Jews who came with her weeping, also Jesus groaned in the spirit and was troubled." So the death caused suffering, remedy, comfort, and hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 17-18. We lost our brother and sister in Christ, so who passed away or moved into heaven. So here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, "Then we are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." So basically, we have hope to see the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming again in heaven. So that hope, so we should comfort one another. Three, suffering caused by sin. For example, David's adultery with Bathsheba. The 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 10, 11. "Now, therefore," this is Nathan the prophet told to David, "Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house," the house of David, "because you have despised me," despised God, "have taken the wife of Uriah, the Hittite," that's Bathsheba, "to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will rise up adversity against you from your own house." So therefore, the Bathsheba and pregnant son was killed in her womb. Then is David's son raped another princess. So the sons killed each other. I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to a neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in the sight of this son. So Absalom did David's concubine on the rooftop, you know, in this way. That's suffering caused by sin. The caused by sin case remedy is repentance. The 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we, all Christians, confess our sins or repent our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The first type, suffering, caused by faith. Today we announced one Ethiopian guy, he's preached gospel in the underground church, so he got persecuted by 140 slashes with the rod. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, for example, Paul and Timothy, for we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, so simply mean out of control, above strength, so that we disappeared even over life, so over physical life. So that's a remedy is a faith and forgiveness. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, Timothy and Paul, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God. So faith in God is a remedy, who raised the dead. Acts chapter 7, verse 60, so we forgive persecutors or cursors. Then here Stephen case, Stephen, when Stephen was martyred, he said, Stephen knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them, the stoners or persecuted them, with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So last one is Job case, also Joseph case. Suffering caused by unexplainable good purpose of God. Unexplainable good purpose of God. One case, Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers, so he was imprisoned for false charge of rape, you know, so and so on. But Joseph finally confessed by himself, Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. But as for you, Joseph told to his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me. Simply, you sold me as slave against me. But God meant it for good, God's good purpose, for in order to bring it about as it is this day, today, to save many people alive, including Israelites. So Messiah came from the saved Israelites too, to save many people alive. So God's good purpose. That's a remedy, faith and prayer. Keep on faith and prayer. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayers and supplication or petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So we see the general five types of suffering in the Bible causes a, you know, different thing. How about Job? Today, chapter 11, verses 1 to 6, Joppa talk about Job's hidden sin or secret wickedness. So basically, three friends of Job assumed Job's present sufferings caused by sin. So three types of suffering. So verses 7 to 12, Joppa talks about the nature of God. Verses 13 to 20, Joppa talk about Job's repentance needed. Verse 1, then Joppa the Naamathite answered and said, previous chapters Job's complaint, then Joppa answered, previous chapter, should not the multitude of words be answered, which meaning Job made a talk a lot, multitude of words be answered. This is a rhetorical question, which meaning, and should a man full of talk be vindicated or justified? So talker by themselves they should not justify. That's a rhetorical question. So previous chapter 10, basically Job said, I am likely innocent. I don't know why it happened to me. So then, verse 3, should your empty talk meaning not resolvable talk, insoluble talk, your talking itself cannot, could not resolve the present suffering or pains to be relieved. Make a man hold their peace. Here, make a man meaning implied to Job's friends. So, your empty talk should not make your friends keep silent. So, which meaning your friends should answer something. And when you mark here is Job contended his friend's advice, counsel. So here, Job chapter 6, example, Job chapter 6, verse 14, 15, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. So basically, Job's friend didn't show kindness to Job who is afflicted. That's why Job asked, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend. But Job's friend, not. Even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. So even though the Job case forsakes, so no holy fear, even though he doesn't have a holy fear, so friend should give kindness to afflicted friend. My brothers have dealt deceitfully like a brook. So Job contended to his friend deceiter, deceitfully like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away. So verse 24, teach me and I will hold my tongue. I want to keep silent. Cause me to understand the way in I have erred. So basically, tell me what's wrong to me because of present sufferings. So explain me why it happened to me. But friends didn't answer exactly accordingly. So that also rather than they accused over Job about the hidden sin or the secret over wickedness, because the present pains and suffering assumed caused by sin. So then is when you mock, or you meaning Job, so Job contended Job's friend, should no one revoke you? To answer, obviously friend should revoke Job. So that which means simply repent or confess your hidden sin. Then verse 4, for you have said, my doctrine is pure, So my understanding is pure, and I am clean in your eyes. Not really Job said so, but simply he did not understand why. Then, but all that God would speak and open his lips against you. Lips against you, which means Job's present suffering is God's judgment against Job. That he would show you the secret of wisdom. So here, for they, meaning the secret of wisdom. So God's wisdom is the secret, would double your prudence. Obviously, God's wisdom would more than double the Job's prudence, Job's wisdom. Know therefore that God exacted from you less than your iniquity deserved. This means basically God's mercy and grace are more than Job's iniquity. In fact, to everyone, none of us have experienced half of a punishment or a judgment which our sin deserves. Because God is gracious, God is merciful. Psalm chapter 103, verse 11 and 12, David said, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." So God's grace and mercy is abundant. So therefore, God doesn't make judgment, punishment, according to our iniquity. Much less than our iniquity, God made a punishment. Verse 7, can you stretch out the deep things of God? So verses 7 to 12 talk about the nature of God. Can you search out the deep things of God? Can you find out the limits of the Almighty? Here talk about God's power, Almighty. Or here talk about omnipotence. They, meaning the limits of the Almighty, are higher than heaven. The limits of the Almighty are higher than heaven. What can you do? Deeper than Sheol. Sheol is a haze. Deeper than Sheol. What can you know? So Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 to 9. Here, God's thoughts. For my thought, God's thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So here Isaiah describes God's thoughts and God's ways. But Zophar talk about God's Almighty. Their measure, the limits of the Almighty measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. Another example, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19, disciples talk about the size of the love of Christ. May be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints, all the Christians, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge beyond our understanding, our knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 10, if he passes by or cuts off, God imprisons or shuts up and gathers to judgment, then who can hinder him? So here talks about sovereignty God. God decided to make a judgment, punishment. Nobody can avoid his judgment. Verse 11, for God knows deceitful man or a vain man. He seeks wickedness also. He sees, meaning here talk about God's omniscience. God knows the wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? Here implied Job's hidden wickedness. Verse 12, for an empty-headed man or a vain man will be wise when while the donkey's colt is born a man. Here, which means, for an empty-headed man will be wise if a wild donkey's colt is born human. So which meaning, an empty-headed man will not be wiser than the time when a wild donkey's colt is born human. Verse 13 to 20, Job talks about Job's repentance needed. 13, if you would prepare your heart and stretch out your hands toward him, toward God, if iniquity or sin were in your hand, and you put it far away, or repent, confess, and would not let wickedness dwell in your tents or in your life. So if you confess your hidden sin, your secret of wickedness, you know, God will, you know, forgive you, you know, basically, so you can dwell in your tents, meaning you live in your life. Then surely you could lift up your face without spot, or which meaning cleansed from all unrighteousness without spot. Yes, you could be steadfast or firmly and not fear, because you would forget your misery and remember it as the waters that have passed away. So, you know, cleanse your sin like it's the waters pass away, cleanse your thought. And your life would be brighter than noonday, although you would thought you would be like the morning. This is Job's complaint, the previous chapter 10, verse 20 to 22. Are not my days a few? Cease. Leave me alone that I may take a little comfort. Before I go to the place from which I shall not return, to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land as dark as darkness itself, as the shadow of death, without any order, where even the light is like darkness. Basically, Job complains he is dying closer to the land of darkness. So the death is no light, you know, like darkness. So verse 17, the Job's answer to previous chapter 10, verse 21, 22, the Job's complaint. So although you were dark, you would be like the morning. How? So you should repent your sin to God. And you would be secure because there is hope. Now so you are cleansed upon your repentance. Yes, you would dig around you and take your rest in safety. You would also lie down, and no one would make you afraid. So here's 7 to 19, really good advice, but application to Job is not right. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love cast out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So basically, to repent is will be cleansed from all unrighteousness, also forgiven his sin as well. So, so no fear, so come out. Yes, many would court your favor, which means many people ask your favor, Job's favor. Then verse 20, but the eyes of the wicked will fail. Here implied the Job as the wicked man. So therefore, this advice is a miserable rebuke rather than comfort. And they shall not escape, and their hope is like loss of life. How about God's judgment, God's conclusion? So we want to see Job chapter 42, verses 6 to 7, the conversation between Job and God. Here, therefore, I, God, Job. Job abhor myself. I hate myself and repent in dust and ashes. So Job later repent his sin to curse his birthday. And so it was after the Lord had spoken these words to Job, and the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath, Lord said, my wrath, my anger is arise against you, and you two friends. So the God's anger against the Job's three friends, for you have not spoken over me, over God, what is right, as my servant Job has. So basically, three friends' advice is not right. So let's see each question answered. Then we conclude this Bible study. We'll get question and answer. Question one, in verse 3, should you anti-talk, make a man hold their peace? And when you mock, should no one rebuke you? What does this verse 3 mean? This literally means basically Job's talking and complaint and answer, so empty, meaning not resolving the present issue. So meaningless talk, make men. Men, implying Job's friends, hold their peace, keep silent. The answer is no. So you're a lot of a talker, make your friends to rebuke you, and you mock. So Job complained against friends, contended against friends. So that is here, Job said, you mock, should no one rebuke you? So the answer is, that's why we, the friends, are rebuking Job now. So the simple meaning, confess your hidden sin or the secret of wickedness. Question 2, in verse 6, that he, God, would show you the secret of wisdom, for they, the secret of wisdom, would double your prudence, your wisdom. Know, therefore, that God exact from you less than your iniquity deserves. What does this verse 6 mean? This verse means the Job's present suffering is less than that actual Job's hidden sin or wickedness deserves. So that means God's grace and mercy much more than the present suffering deserves your iniquity. Question 3, in verse 17, and your life would be brighter than noonday, although you were dark, you would be like the morning. To what complaint of Job was Job's answer? That is a complaint is a previous chapter 10, verses 21-22. The Job himself said he is close to the land of darkness. Also, even the light is like darkness. So that's a response.